Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Hope is not a strategy. Hortatory talk about what the Iraqi government must do is getting old. I mean, I have heard over and over again, the government must do this. The Iraqi army must do that. Nobody disagrees with that. The brutal fact is, it is not happening.
Bet that's the first time you ever heard a Hillary Clinton-James Brown mashup, huh? How'd she do over a James Brown bed? How'd she do? Say it again.
Hope is not a strategy. Hortatory talk about what the Iraqi government must do is getting old. I mean, I have heard over and over again, the government must do this. The Iraqi army must do that. Nobody disagrees with that. The brutal fact is, it is not happening.
We will be replacing our usual music beds with James Brown music all morning as a tribute to the King of Soul, who of course died on Christmas at the age of 73. And we played that Hillary Clinton clip because, as advertised, we are opening today with our very first informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show presidential poll of the 2008 campaign. Today we'll do Democrats. In a few days we'll do the Republican field. But right now, Democrats, call in and tell us who you would vote for if a primary were being held today, December 26, 2006, and you could vote for any Democrat who might be running. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And as I said before the news, this actually is important and not just purely hypothetical, because many of the candidates are deciding right now whether to get in and whether they have enough support out there and potential support and potential fundraising clout to actually do it. And for many of them, the decision is enough to challenge Hillary. And so, Democrats, 212-433-WNYC or email Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. And while your calls are coming in, let's see how this potential candidate does with the James Brown music bed test.
Sometimes I think that we get overexcited, or we fasten on remarks that people are making in the heat of political battle. I agree that generally we need to improve the tone of civility in politics. I think that that starts, by the way, with the White House and some of those closest to George Bush. I'm always happy if we can tone down the rhetoric and focus on the problems that the American people care about.
Does Barack Obama have an unfair advantage for the James Brown music bed test, or is that just a racial assumption? All right, how about this guy?
We have to stop misleading the American public so we don't lose their confidence. Tell them it's going to take more time. Tell them it's able to be done, but tell them the truth.
So maybe Joe Biden is the whitest man in America, but hey, he tried. We'll give some more candidates the James Brown music bed test as we proceed here on this December 26th. But the question on the table is a serious one for serious Democrats. Call in right now or email us and tell us who you would vote for if a primary were being held today, December 26, 2006. And you could vote for any Democrat who might, keyword might, be running. 212-433-WNYC. All our lines are full. But 433-9692 as people finish up. Is Clinton too much of a divisive lightning rod to be electable, whether it's her fault or not? Bush was divisive. He got elected twice. Is Obama too experienced to be elected president? heard somebody point out the other day that Abraham Lincoln was not much more than an Illinois legislator in terms of his government experience when he got elected. Parallel there? How about Joe Biden? How about this guy who Larry in Manhattan is going to start us off with, I think.
Hello.
Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
Hi.
So?
He drafted, and at the last minute, Obama, and the others, just to throw their support to the most qualified Democratic person around.
But Gore's your man, is what you're saying. You were breaking
absolutely
up at the beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why?
Because I think he's wise. He's experienced. I think he's charismatic. I've seen him in person in a rally in Seattle some years ago. He's a lot more charismatic than his detractors give him credit for. And I think he's just a great guy who would be a great president.
Thank you very much. And how about Al Gore? People, I know folks who say it's all about Gore right now. If Gore stays out, Hillary wins the nomination. It's over before it starts. And so it's all about whether Gore wants to run against Hillary Clinton. That's what some people say. Does he have the fire in the belly to go head on into that Democratic Party Clinton administration civil war that would inevitably ensue on some level? But who do you want? Who do you want? Lisa in Glen Cove, you're on WNYC. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Brian.
How you
Merry
doing?
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
To you, too.
Thank you. Hillary, 100%. But I worry that the middle of the country won't vote for her because she's a woman. So, but I think she's the most experienced. I think she's the most sensible. And she's not perfect, but I certainly would vote for Hillary.
Okay. So that's Hillary, unless somebody comes and blows you away. What about Al Gore?
You know, I'd love to vote for Al Gore. Can he do that again? I mean, would America go with that? I think he would be wonderful. I voted for him before. So I just don't feel like, I don't know, can a guy run twice?
Guys
Excuse
can run twice.
I'm sorry, didn't he run like three times already?
Well, he was, you know, he ran for vice president. Well, he ran for, let's see if I can recall all the presidential or vice presidential runs by Al Gore. He ran in 88.
Right.
And was kind of, you know, building for the future. I don't think even he seriously thought he was going to win that year. Then, of course, for vice president and won in 92 and 96. Then, of course, he ran in 2000. And, you know, you go back, I mean, Ronald Reagan was running forever until
right.
he finally got the nomination and the presidency. Richard Nixon nominated in 60 and
right.
lost to Kennedy. You know, people wrote him off. He wrote him off, right? You're not going to have Richard Nixon that could go around anymore. And then he came back in 68 and won. So, you know, there's certainly precedent for that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But
he would definitely be somebody I'd vote for if he could do that again.
Yeah. Over Hillary? Because that's the question. We're in a Democratic yeah. primary now.
Oh, that would be hard. Because I think they both have enough experience. I think they both have enough of what I'd be looking for, what, you know, of the policy things that I would want.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
That would be a toss-up, maybe.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I think in America, Americans give people a second chance. And if you learn something and prove you've learned something, maybe even more so.
Well, maybe they give Gore a second chance. I don't know about that guy. How's John Kerry do on the James Brown music bed test? Paul in Cedarhurst, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Brian. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you. To a large extent, I agree with the prior caller, Lisa, but I really...
remembered her name. I am impressed, Paul.
Thank you very much. I listened carefully. By the way, what is your name again?
Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Too much Christmas cheer. The next presidential election is a Democrats' election to lose, and unfortunately, I think that they would lose with Hillary. In my opinion, there's a huge amount of resentment toward Hillary. Though nobody could really identify what they're resentful about, they don't like Hillary, and they really don't know why. I would like to see her as president, I don't think that she's electable. As far as our friend Obama is concerned,
You're the second person out of two now who has mangled Obama's name. The first one said, what do you say, Orama or something like that, Karamba, and you almost said Osama.
I almost did.
Go ahead.
Anyhow, I think he would be a viable candidate, not this time around, perhaps in the next election cycle. He's just too young. I don't think that the racial is a factor at all. I think Joe Biden could be a very viable candidate.
Let me stop you on something. You don't think that race would be a factor in America in 2006, 2008?
Not in the next cycle. Not in 2012. I firmly believe that Colin Powell could have been elected very, very easily if he chose to run.
Right. So maybe you meant you don't think race is the automatic disqualifier.
Exactly.
Being black, or I guess in his case, half African descent, recent immigrant African descent, and half white. So
right.
His racial thing is complex. But you don't mean to say that it's not going to be a factor.
From my perspective, I don't believe so. But anyhow, as far as Al Gore is concerned, I think we've been there, we've tried that, we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a little bit too old. I think at this point, Joe Biden would be my candidate.
Joe Biden. And Biden over Edwards?
I don't think I want to go down that road again.
And you certainly don't want to go down the Kerry road again.
Correct.
You don't think Biden is too, I don't know, wonkish?
Perhaps that's what we need. After all, we have the anti-wonk sitting in the White House right now, and look where that got us.
The anti-wonk. Very good. All right, Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So this has already sparked a number of response emails. Gore won't run. He doesn't want to risk another loss, and he likes being the gadfly. Well, maybe. Evan Bayh in 2008 says, my choice for the 2008 presidential candidate, Evan Bayh, about Bayh. Bayh is pro-choice and open to same-sex marriage, or this says manage, but I think I know what they meant. Yet he has voted against several spending bills. No on prioritizing national debt reduction below tax cuts, April 2000. Guy, talk about wonks. Says he's for balancing debt reduction, tax relief, and policy investment. I consider myself, says this listener, a moderate libertarian, more specifically socially liberal and fiscal conservative, all right, and likes Evan Bayh. But I think Bayh dropped out, right? Here's how I have it at the moment. Clinton, presumably in. Obama, deciding, probably in. Biden, pretty well announced, in. Vilsack, governor of Iowa, have to study up on him, New Yorkers, right? Probably in, announced, actually. Edwards, considering it, probably in. Dennis Kucinich, back in. Did you hear that? Al Gore, the cipher, out. Evan Bayh, out. Russ Feingold, great liberal hope to some. Russ Feingold decided not to do it. Out, but considering getting back in, Mark Warner, the former governor of Virginia. Did you hear that little tidbit the other day? Warner was on the show a few months ago talking like a presidential candidate, and he was willing to submit to an interview as a potential presidential candidate. And we talked about all kinds of things. Then a few weeks later, he announced that he's not going to run. But there was a tidbit in the press last week that Mark Warner is considering getting back in the race. Right? He was against it before he was... Well, however you want to put that. But he, I wonder why, you know. I wonder if it's that he sees that there isn't a field developing against Hillary to her right within the Democratic Party, which he's supposed to represent, especially now that Evan Bayh got out. Or for those of you who knew that Mark Warner did the SecondLife.com little avatar stunt, those of you who were into that kind of website, maybe his avatar told him to run. I don't know. But so Warner may get back in now that Bayh is out. And if he doesn't consider Vilsack that kind of challenge from the center to Hillary Clinton. So interesting times. Okay, we'll continue in a minute. More of the James Brown Democratic presidential candidate music bed test and more of your calls and emails. Who would you vote for in a Democratic primary for the 2008 presidential election if it was being held today.
That's the guy who's been standing motionless on the stage behind the president for 8 years. What in the hell makes you think he could be president?
Are all vice presidents that motionless?
No. I did it really well.
Yeah. He's got soul for a stiff guy, right? Jeff in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Brian. Happy holidays to you.
You
and
too.
If the primary were held today, I'd vote for Al Gore.
You would?
I would.
Out of that entire Democratic field, the potential out and in ones, because?
Well, first of all, I think that he won the election in 2000, number one. Number two, I never liked Al Gore while he was vice president and while he was senator, but since he's left Washington, he's been very free to speak his mind, and he's made some very important policy decisions where he clearly took a stand on a lot of issues that I certainly support and believe in. And I think that if Al Gore were to run again, I think that we would hopefully see a different Al Gore than we've seen in the past, a person that really is sort of unshackled to his past ties to the Washington establishment and will really stand up and discuss a lot of really key important issues, particularly the environment.
Did you say unshackled?
Shackled.
Shackle is money,
right?
And shackle is, you know, a shackle. Right. I think you put your finger on why so many people want Gore to run. A lot of more liberal Democrats, people in the base who tend to vote in primaries, who were thought, well, he's this guy who is in the shadow of Bill Clinton, tilting toward the center and kind of stiff on television and. You know, who is this guy really? And people were for him because he was the Democrat in 2000. But since then, he's come out, as you say, with strong, unshackled statements on global warming, obviously, on the war pretty early on. And so he's going to ignite a different kind of passion, plus this underlying piece of history where a lot of people like you did think he really won the election. And if he's combining that with passion, then what's the difference between him and Hillary Clinton then for you?
Well, the big difference for me is that Hillary, since she's become senator, has moved much more to the right than she on a lot of issues that she spoke about publicly in the past. She was a strong supporter of the war in Iraq in the beginning. She supported the Patriot Act, you know, and unequivocally. And I have major issues with both of those stances. She hasn't spoken forcefully on a lot of environmental issues, and you know, I think that as a major public figure, even though she was a junior senator from New York, I think that she could have been more outspoken on a lot of issues during her short tenure in the Senate, and she sort of chose to kind of remain in the background until more recently. And I would have expected her to be speak more forcefully on a lot more issues.
All
I
right.
I think Chuck Schumer is really. You know,
he's the senator from New York who you would prefer, or what?
No. What I'm saying is, I think that Schumer's really been very outspoken on a lot more issues than Hillary has, mm-hmm. and I'm quite surprised by that. And I like a lot of his issues.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Jeff in Manhattan for Al Gore.
He's the guy. He's. That's the guy who's been standing motionless on the stage behind the president for 8 years. What in the hell makes you think he could be president?
Are all vice presidents that motionless?
No. I did it really well.
Yeah.
He laughs. He cries. It's our very first informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show presidential poll of the 2008 campaign. Today for Democrats, if you're just tuning in, and on a subsequent day, we will survey the Republican field. Our phone number, though all our lines are full, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and our email inbox, always open, Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. And yes, we are replacing our usual music beds with James Brown music all morning as a tribute to the now late King of Soul. And by the way, I want to know who his doctors were. According to the Times, did you read this? As of Sunday night, they knew he was sick, but they thought he was getting better, and they gave him clearance to play his Manhattan New Year's Eve gig at B.B. King's. And the next day, he was dead. Is there a diagnostician in the house? Too bad House wasn't in the house. But who do you want for the Democratic presidential nomination? Democrats, 212-433-9692. And Vernon on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hello, Vernon.
Hey, happy first day of Kwanzaa.
And to you, too. We're going to have a call-in, by the way, in a little while for people celebrating Kwanzaa to tell us what it's all about and your family, and also for people celebrating the Eid ul-Adha Muslim holiday, which also happens to fall this time of year. So I think we've heard enough about Christmas and Hanukkah,
right,
and we'll hear some about Kwanzaa and the Eid from our listeners coming up in a little while. Just thought you'd like to know. So hey, who's your candidate?
Well, I'm totally torn, but I would have to say that if the primary was held today and if he decided to run, I would vote for Al Gore. And I'm torn because I love Barack Obama and his appearance on the American scene. The reason I think that Al Gore would win handily against maybe John McCain is I think that Al Gore represents a kind of meta-narrative in America. Like, I think many people feel that he should have been president. And there's a sense that it would be correcting a terrible wrong for many people.
So pretty much the same as the last guy.
Yeah, I think the other thing is that there's a sense that he's not really hungry to run. He's certainly one of the most, I think, culturally relevant people on the scene. If you listen to him on the TED Talks podcast or his venture with Current TV or mm-hmm. The movie, I mean, he's really...
I don't know if Current TV, which he founded, makes him culturally relevant or not. Does anybody watch that channel?
I don't know. I think it's still bubbling under, but the fact that he even went into that arena, I think, says a lot.
It does. But you said he's not busting to run.
I don't think we know.
It could be that he's playing this whole coy strategy so that we'll have conversations like this, and then when he bursts back on the scene, if he decides to run, it'll feel like a draft.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe. Well, that would be much more new Al Gore than old Al Gore. I mean,
that's true.
Very, very
dramatic,
very crafty, and but I think that there's a strong sense that so many things, particularly with regards to the war and the environment, things would have just turned out just very differently. Our relationships with our allies would be different. So I think that there's a...
There's a ring of history around it, of what if. Before you go, just tell me real quick, because you said at the beginning you're a little bit torn because you love Obama.
Yeah.
What... does something hold you back about Obama? Do you think it's just not his time yet, or what?
No, I think it's his time. I don't know if it's America's time. That's my, I would love to feel differently about that.
So the other guy who said he doesn't think race will be a factor. You got a good laugh.
I chuckle. Not totally derisively, but I do chuckle at that. I think that's very disingenuous to think that race doesn't play a part, even though they did have a black president in the first series of 24. and that may prime the pump for younger voters. With an aging population that's duplicitous about race, I just don't buy it. Oh, one other thing.
Uh-huh.
You, got to play Funky President. What are y'all doing?
All right, we'll see if we can. We'll see if we can pull it out. Thanks a lot, Vernon.
All right,
and of course there was that other TV series with a woman president, but that didn't get canceled. What does that say? Peter in Riverdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Hi. I'll say it loud, Kucinich, and I'm proud.
Kucinich, who has, I don't know if, you know, people, you got to be pretty much a news junkie to know this, but he has announced he's running again.
Yes.
And people forget that Dennis Kucinich, in that early Move On poll, right, when MoveOn.org was just really breaking out as a force in Democratic primary politics, they did a poll, of course, like this. It was an informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific poll because it was just people who got the Move On emails or who were members who then chose to vote. But Howard Dean won that poll. Dennis Kucinich came in second. So there's, you know, but of course that's the difference. It shows you the difference between the Move On base and the overall Democratic primary base because he didn't really show up in the results anywhere. But it's enough for him to run again to, I guess, get his message out.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the one candidate I wouldn't feel like I'm voting for the lesser of two evils. And I think it's, even though he will not win the nomination, clearly, I think it's important that there be some kind of progressive nucleus in the Democratic Party that's willing to support the party when it comes down to brass tacks, but also is putting out a message involving, you know, he's the only one who will genuinely calls for a national health plan, single payer, talks about the impact of the trade agreements on both American workers and foreign workers, et cetera, et cetera. Other than that, I think I would support Gore because I do think he'll get a sympathy vote for the man won in the election. Let's give him a chance to be president. And also, hopefully, since he's come out in favor of things, he will be able to respond more spontaneously than reading like Kerry and Gore in the previous election, than just worried about somebody to the right of him not liking what he said.
Peter, thanks a lot for your call. It's really interesting. Gore has the juice in this poll. I mean, we don't really do the numbers per se in these informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show political polls, but it is Gore, Gore, Gore on the board, and then here and there, people for others. So it is very, very interesting. Here's an email that says, first quotes Will Rogers, "I belong to no organized political party. I am a Democrat." Then it says, in response to my history, that Bush got elected even though he was a divisive figure, especially in 2004, and so Hillary's divisiveness may not be an impenetrable obstacle to her actually getting elected if she gets the nomination, for those of you who are worried about the electability of Hillary Clinton. But this says, yes, Bush was a lightning rod like Hillary Clinton and won twice, but he had an advantage that Hillary would not. He ran against Democrats both times, the second time against John Kerry, who probably did as much to elect George Bush as the whole Republican machine. And I guess the thing to keep in mind, or another thing to keep in mind, is that it will probably be John McCain, who's formidable, right? Nobody's going to say he's not formidable as a presidential candidate. So it's the matchups. Hillary McCain, Obama McCain, Edwards McCain. Nobody's saying Edwards. I thought he's the new young Al Gore. Gore McCain, Kucinich McCain, Kerry McCain, right? But maybe we should do the Republican in-outs. So many outs. Santorum was going to be in. He's out. Too much, I don't know what, dissing of Social Security. Bye-bye, Santorum. George Allen was going to be in. Now he's out. Bye-bye, Makaka. Frist was going to be in. He's going to be out. Undone by Schiavo. All these guys being brought down on their, what they thought was their conservative creds, right? Santorum, George Allen, Frist. Condi. Remember when it was the draft Condi movement? Oh, you want a woman for president? Hillary's going to run for president? How about Condoleezza Rice? Well, after all this Iraq stuff, does Condi have that juice anymore? Arnold broke his leg. No, he's not allowed to run by law. Jeb? Dare he? And how about George Bush, 41? thinking, gosh, the wrong son. And Pataki going to get in. Rudy, serious. Rick Perry, the current governor of Texas, thinking about it. I don't know. Who could beat McCain out of all those people? I guess Sam Brownback would be the great socially conservative hope. Robbie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Oh,
hi, Robbie.
Thank you so much. I certainly want Al Gore, and here is the scenario that we should have. It may sound like a 1930s Frank Capra movie, but I think our democracy still has a little of this idealism in it. Senators Clinton and Obama should call a joint press conference. They should declare, "We ask not what we can do for ourselves, but what we can do for our country."
Mm-hmm.
We can lead a ticket headed by the man whose victory by over 500,000 votes was stolen from him 8 years ago. It's the just and democratic thing to do. We hereby nominate Al Gore, the most experienced and qualified man to be president, person to be president, and the man with whom we both hope to serve. I, Barack Obama, would be honored to serve as his vice president. I, Hillary Clinton, would be honored to serve as his secretary of state.
Ah, run the
end
whole
quote. And that this would
run the whole cabinet.
Well, but this would be an unbeatable ticket if this was declared ahead of time. Who would be on the ticket? And Hillary would be a fabulous secretary of state. Everybody in the world would welcome her, and it would raise their stature, Obama and Clinton, to heights of distinction that would be unknown, that they would be so self-sacrificing for the good of the
mm-hmm.
country, to put the man mm. Who can quarrel with the fact that he is the
yes.
most experienced and qualified
man. Now that's
man.
An interesting idea. That is a really interesting idea. Do you have a cabinet post for Dennis Kucinich?
No, that's up to them. No, I don't. You choose it.
Okay. Press secretary, maybe. I don't know. Thank you. Interesting idea.
Thank you. I by the way, I've been faxing this off to the New York Times about 18 times, and they haven't picked it up. Thank you very much for picking it up.
Fax it off to Howard Dean.
Well, I might do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do the Democrats lay on the side and let the Republicans implode, which they're doing a very good job of for a lot of reasons. Gas prices, the war in Iraq, etc. Or do we go out with a strong, defining message as an alternative? I feel very strongly we ought to do the latter.
But you're not seeing.
Edwards got Saul. Everybody knows that. But nobody's calling in for Edwards. Kathy in Richfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm going for Hillary Clinton, but I don't want to count out John Corzine of New Jersey.
Oh, come on. Not in 2008.
Maybe vice president.
Well, you know, he has ambitions. I think that's common knowledge, but not in 08. I mean, maybe vice president, maybe, but not probably not even that in 08. He has to prove that he can manage on the state level. You know, he's got to do the property taxes and the car insurance and the New Jersey Turnpike traffic.
And he will.
Okay, Kathy. Thank you very much. Nobody's saying this guy.
I wouldn't drop war on terror, but I believe it needs to be diplomatic, winning the hearts and minds of the people in the Islamic world. It means a strong military presence used appropriately, not used as the first option, but as oftentimes as the last option. And it means much more focus this country on true homeland security, doing the things, for example, that the bipartisan 9/11 commission recommended that in most cases still haven't been carried out by this administration.
Oh, you don't even recognize his voice, do you? Mark Warner. But if he gets in, watch out. That's what everyone says. Adama on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Adama.
Yeah, hi, Brian. I'm glad to get in. I have one important thing to say about Barack Obama. He's a bright star at this moment, but I don't think America is ready at this moment to vote him as a higher position like that. But one thing he could qualify, if, you know, they could find somebody as a leader, which I believe if, what's his name, Mr. Gore, you know, try to change some kind of politics. He could be the leader and then put Barack Obama as a a second runner, which is
the vice president.
Vice president, yeah. Why? Because Barack Obama could have worked himself up there. But at this moment, America is not ready to vote him.
Do you think America might be ready in another 4 years? Or is it...
Yes, I'm sorry to cut you. Yeah, I believe they may be ready. Why? Because if he do stand as a vice president, mm-hmm. I think he could work, you know, America will be able gradually to come, you know, the people that are maybe may not like him, they may gradually come out of the curtains.
Adama, thanks a lot for your call, and thanks to all of you for your calls on this first informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show presidential poll of the 2008 campaign.
Sometimes I think that we get overexcited or we fasten on remarks that people are making in the heat of political battle. I agree that generally we need to improve the tone of civility in politics. I think that that starts, by the way, with the White House and some of those closest to George Bush. I'm always happy if we can tone down the rhetoric and focus on the problems that the American people care about.
Coming up in a minute, a call-in for anyone celebrating Kwanzaa or Eid ul-Adha. 212-433-WNYC. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.